Are you good?
Yeah, I'm looking good.
Perfect. Jay, we have a surprise for you. It starts like this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jay. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to move the microphone to get to the candle there, the one sad candle. Hey! Congratulations, Jay. You're older now.
I am.
Yeah.
Very old.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What do you think of the cake?
It's beautiful. It's
right?
A beautiful cake.
I told Christine he likes roses and the color pink.
Yes.
And she was like, done. I will make a cake that fits that criteria.
Favorite things.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, were you surprised?
By the cake?
Yeah.
Yes.
See? See? You see that? I told you he'd be surprised.
Were you surprised? I was surprised.
I was also surprised. Christine was surprised also when I said, hey, can you bake a cake real quick? Yes, we'll have some cake after the podcast. I did want to embarrass you on air by doing that. So, of course, this is coming off of our second lovely Jay event of the day. Jay, would you like to explain what we just did?
Yeah, they just dumped a whole big old bucket of ice water on my head, which was really sweet.
You sound like you really enjoyed it.
It's a great birthday treat.
Sweet of us to do for you, for your charity.
Accommodating.
Yes, so I was nominated for that bucket challenge, which has now been repurposed for...
COVID
charity. Thank you. That's the current pandemic.
Right. We're doing the thing. You forget the name of the thing?
I forgot the name of the thing that's been affecting all of our lives.
What's that thing we've been all doing? You know, the thing. Such with a C.
Chilling.
I don't chilling.
We chilling. Really
we're
have.
All chilling.
We've been all at home chilling.
We're all chilling.
We certainly are. Yeah, Jay got wet.
Yeah.
Not in the good way. What were you? You don't like that?
No.
You don't like wetness in a good way?
Well,
you know, like washed dishes.
Oh,
washed a car.
Oh, I mean,
drank a glass of water.
What were you thinking, Brandon?
What did you think I was talking about?
Like when your clothes get all moist, you know?
And you're right. When your clothes get moist, I get it.
Moist
like swamp ass. That's what you were thinking of.
That's right, exactly what I was.
No, I meant wet in the good way, like an ice cold glass of water after a run.
Oh man,
I love getting wet.
Well, if you want, we can. There's still a bucket out there. We could dump it on you.
Not that wet.
A little
I'm
bit.
Good.
We could do a little bit.
So I came out with like a big mixing bowl, and I said, "Is this good?" And Jay said, "Yes," and everyone said, "No." So I went back in,
got a
and
giant
I came
Tupperware
out,
tub.
Yeah, with like a storage tub, a small storage tub.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it was short notice. I had not made enough ice, so it was mostly just cold water with small ice cubes in it.
It was plenty cold for sure.
It was very cold.
But the charity will get the money anyway. I think that qualifies. The ice company will send the check.
Yeah. It comes
how does this
ice.
Work?
I don't know.
I'm just making a donation. I don't know how it works.
Wait, hold on. You get ice water poured on your head and then you have to make a donation?
I do believe that's how it's working for this.
I thought this is like a run where somebody like sponsored
you.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
And so you get the ice water and you get the check.
I think the idea behind it is that you could either do the ice water or donate. But to me, that seems really gross.
It is
so
dumb.
I'm just going to donate like a person does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like you didn't even need to do the ice water, in fact.
Yeah, that. Well, the option is like you could get ice water dumped on your head or you could donate to charity. These are your two choices.
Why didn't you just donate and avoid the ice water?
Well, I just feel like the spectacle of it all.
It's helping the cause.
Yeah, the kids want to see it, so.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's for the kids.
It was entertaining, and it was.
What is this? Is this through a particular organization that you want to like shout out? Like,
it's to an organization of our choice, so I would say go on Bernie Sanders' webpage and donate to his... What are you laughing
at? Sorry, I thought you were like, donate to his campaign.
He's repurposed his campaign donation apparatus into a charity donation apparatus. So,
oh, okay.
Go on there and donate $27.
I thought he was going to say donate to his campaign again. I was like, what?
No, he is suspended.
Is this 2 months ago?
Yeah, so donate there and...
Okay. Is that who you're going to be sending your check to?
Yes.
Nice. And the size of that check is going to be?
Oh, whatever you want. I'll probably do like $50.
Whatever I... Whoa, hold on. Whoa. Whatever I want and $50 are two totally different numbers.
I mean, you could do a dollar.
I'll tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to do $50 and I'll match your donation for $50. So altogether, we have $100.
How's there we
that?
Go.
Right? And if you guys want to match Jay's donation as well, all you have to do is hit us up at Jay.
nafcast@gmail.com. That's nafcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
And other places you can find quality podcasts.
Dave's on TikTok.
I am not yet, Jay. Not yet.
You should see him dance.
Oh my God. Step at a time. I'm still trying to figure out.
He does those duets.
I knew there were duets. Yeah. I've seen the duets. Right. It's from what I understand. It's singing, right? People sing.
It's just a GIF share. It's like a movie sharing software. That's all it is.
But it's like
what's
10
popular is the dances and singing and stuff.
Okay.
But
yeah, I'm just going to write the $50 check and we'll call it a day.
Smart move.
But if you want to send us your money to be repurposed for the Coronavirus Relief Fund, you can do it at NAFCast.
Yeah.
And we'll take your money, which you could have easily just given to a charity, and we will give it to a charity.
Yes.
You're welcome. Brandon, your contribution?
Yeah, I'll contribute.
All right. Brandon is also contributing. Well, I got to tell you, it was the high point of my day.
Well, I'm glad I could make it for you.
Yeah. I've had, frankly, an awful day. You know, one of those days where, like, you're trying to get work done and people keep calling you, and then somebody calls you to ask you about the work you're supposed to be getting done while you're answering all the phone calls?
It's like,
I know you don't have the exact same situation.
Emails.
Jay, but you can try and empathize with me a little
bit. Yeah, like when you're trying to teach and you get phone calls on your classroom phone like 10 times in a lesson. Yes.
Right. And you're in the middle of teaching a lesson. Right. Okay,
and like every time you hang up the phone and continue teaching a lesson, somebody new calls you and you're like, okay.
Dummies interrupting you while you're trying to work. It was my whole day. And so when Jay said, hey, can you dump ice water on my head? I was like, yeah, can I? Yeah, please.
Was really funny.
Yep. Well, yeah. And hey, listen, the ice water, the bucket, the hose that was used, the chair, it was all provided free of charge by NAFCAST, contributing to charity.
That's our show's contribution. This is it.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we went a long way.
I think we did too.
You know, right? I mean, so we didn't have like a concert hall to donate to the cause. No. You can have your event here, but like...
Well, you couldn't anyway. You can't have events.
Well, if you socially distance, you can. If you have 6 feet apart from every chair in your venue.
I did see an interesting... video of, it's like a bar down in, I don't even know what state, but it's they're using these like tables, and then they put like these giant tubes around the tables, and they have their customers walking around with them for 6 feet social distancing.
Tubes around the tables,
like a giant VIP section.
What
have you ever seen? Like when you go snow tubing, or like on a water slide, inner tubes,
right? Yeah. Oh, people are walking around with them on.
Yeah. So they this bar
that's pretty funny.
Attach them to tables, and you stand in the middle of the table, and then the ring is around it, and so it's like you're walking around, and it's forcing social distancing.
Oh, I think I'd have to see this. But it sounds ingeniously creative.
And it's got a table, right? So like there's a table, and then the ring around it. So everybody has their own personal table, and yeah.
That's so weird that you have your own. Like, what if you came to the bar with a friend?
Do you have to sit at two separate tables? You're not sitting; you're standing. Well, I guess you could get a chair with it.
But. Do you have to stand with your friend? Do you get isolated with your friend, or does your friend have to stand like 5 feet away?
They would get their own. So if the three
to me
of us
it doesn't
went,
make any sense because we already rode here in the same car.
Yeah,
right.
Like you and Brandon, social distancing would be useless. If I put you in separate rooms,
You
rode here together.
Mm. Well, what it looks like to me was that everybody had their own individual one.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that people are trying to do a thing.
It's innovation.
I should tell you guys about my experience.
Oh?
I have a COVID story.
Oh.
I'm the only one. So listen to mine.
Okay.
It's very important.
Sounds very important.
Your COVID experiences mean little. mine, however, was traumatic and enlightening and spiritual.
Wow.
Yes. So I went out to get Thai food.
Okay.
Yeah. This is probably the... If my phone is ringing right now, I'm going to throw it. If it's... Okay, just text messages. Fine. So this is probably one of the few times, first times we've done some sort of takeout since the lockdown and the pandemic, the social distancing began. I think I picked up sandwiches for Mother's Day, maybe, and for Christine's birthday. But other than that, we've basically just made our own food, prepared our own stuff, you know, because as much as a lot of people are doing takeout, there are inherent risks to
take. Of course.
Somebody else is touching your food.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, you know what? Let's treat ourselves. We're going to do Thai food. Thai Kitchen over in Chester. Shout out. They're fantastic.
Is that the one with the elephants on the menu?
Yes. Yes. The spiciness based on the elephants.
They are very good.
Yes. What do you do? I do three spicy.
I do five elephants.
Five elephants?
I'm a five elephant guy.
Wow. Yeah. First of all, you're crazy. Second of all, good for you. So we do very simple stuff. Order the food. Go to pick it up. My idea was I was going to drop by my office real quick and scan and print some over in Flanders.
Oh, I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I saw you be like, what? Yeah, so I was going to go in and print and scan some stuff real quick and then just bounce over, grab the food, dunzo, dunzo. I get there and somebody's in the office. Somebody I know, but now I'm like, and you know, I wore all my gear and my mask and my stuff, so we're good. But I was like, oh, fuck, I didn't expect anyone to be here. So now I'm in a conversation. And I haven't seen this person for like a month and a half.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, oh, this is what's going on with me. And blah, 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 blah. Very nice lady. But I was like, ha, 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 I have to go.
Yeah.
So I'm about to walk out the door and she gets a phone call. And it's another person we work with. And she puts it on speaker and she goes, oh, hey, I'm just here with Dave.
Oh, God.
And the other person's like, oh, hey, Dave. Blah, 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 and I was like, oh, my God. So I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to be helpful. These are coworkers. They have problems. I'm trying to be like, oh, maybe if you call this person and send an email to that department, they could. But I got to. Conversation kept going to the point where I had to just be like, hey, I got to go.
Yeah.
I'm like an hour late at this point.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. So I go to pick up the food. By the time I get there, it's easily an hour after I was supposed to have picked
it up. Yeah. What, do they throw it out?
No. So I go up and there's a couple people waiting outside with masks on. And I'm like, that's understandable. They're waiting for pickup. So there's signs on the door. It's all order and pickup and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. So I go to open the door. And this woman, this very Karen looking woman, she says,
oh boy.
She says, excuse me. And I said, yeah. And she said, it's one at a time inside and there's a line. And I was like, oh, okay, no, that's fine. I placed my order a while ago, and so I'm just gonna pop my head in and be like, hey, I know I'm late, but I'm here.
Yeah.
And she's like, we all placed orders. And it's one, two, three, four. And she points at me.
This is Jay's hackles are getting up.
This is peak Karen. At this point, I have to interrupt and ask.
Yes, please.
Did you pull out your cell phone and start filming the whole incident?
No.
Because
that's Jay's pleasure.
My new porn that gets me fully erect is watching people just like destroy Karens like that.
No. I've got no interest in publicizing as a silly Karen. It's she's just a poor lady who is having a rough day, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, no. Definitely. You give people the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I mean, yeah. But at this point, we're of course like, and I'm kind of like, yeah, okay. Clearly, you don't understand. Like, I put my order in a while ago.
I'm late for my order.
So you're thinking it's a misunderstanding still?
Right, yes. right. And it is. But I was like, okay, cool. I'm just gonna pop my head in. And at this point, I kind of like turn my back to her.
Yeah.
And she keeps on like excusing me.
Oh, no.
And so I just pop my head in, and there's this kid in there. And I say he's a kid. He's probably like 20 years old, whatever. Yeah. Young guy. And he just looks so clueless. And I felt bad. And I looked at him, and I just looked around, and there was nobody there helping him. And I was like, are you waiting for your food? And he just went, yeah. I was like, okay. So I popped my head back out, and I was like, okay, give him a minute.
Yeah.
He's in there for like 10 fucking minutes.
What the fuck?
So at which point I was like, and you know, this is all the restaurant's fault, first of all, because this is not the system you want to use. But okay.
Yeah.
So finally he comes out with no food, and I'm like,
what the hell?
Now I have to ask.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, pal, food's not ready. He was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So I turned to Karen.
To our Karen.
And I was like, would you like? And I gestured to the door. I held the door for her. She goes in, shut the door.
What a gentleman.
She's in there. She does her thing. Hold the door for her on her way out. Ma'am, you have a very nice night. She's like, thank you. She heads back to her car. Lady number three, she pops in. Her food's not ready either, but at least she's fucking quick about it.
She's in and out.
Right.
She's in, she's out. And I'm like, food not ready. Okay. So I popped my head in. I was like, order for Christine. It's already paid for. Guy's like, we were waiting for you. I was like, I know. So he gives me the food. I'm on my way out the door. Good night to the two people who are still waiting. And I'm on my way to the car before Karen is even in her car and on the way out the parking lot. So I catch her eye and I just point to my bag of food and I said, you have a nice night.
Well,
but
that was traumatic. Yeah.
She was right. I felt triggered. No, clearly she was just some poor lady. Dude, she's probably been in her house with her middle-aged husband for the past 2 months and their fucking horrible kids and just probably just going fucking stir crazy. And all she wanted was to go out and get some Thai food and for her miserable, ingrained family.
Be in charge of the line.
Thank you. And be in charge somewhere.
Be in charge of the line.
Yeah. No, I came out and I cut the line. I did. I cut the line. And so she was like, excuse, dude, I've been in a liquor store and a guy goes up and I'm like, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
There's a line.
Right,
sometimes
right.
You got to be that guy.
You do. Reasonable people then say, like, if I'm head of the line, Karen, and someone says, oh, I placed my order an hour ago. I've been delayed. It's ready. Can I just? Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Please do.
That's the difference.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if she hadn't been sitting in that line for God knows how long, being irritated by this kid who was just standing there not getting his food, I could totally understand. Listen, I'm not trying to make excuses for you. She was rude.
That's
she was rude to
that
me.
That is a dumb method, though. If your food's all ready, get the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, that was my big problem.
Yeah.
It's really, A, it's my fault for not being like, hey, excuse me, child,
get
out of the restaurant. Your food's not ready. I ordered an hour ago. But I was like, okay, whatever. And it's the restaurant's fucking fault.
To be like, it's going to be 5 minutes. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like,
lines work for the ordering system.
Yes. Yeah.
The pickup system is like a number 42.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, that's me.
Right.
And then it's already paid for. Yeah.
Why did I don't like, you've got a bunch of people waiting outside your restaurant already. Have everybody wait out there and just be like, have somebody's head pop out and be like,
hey, order number blah. Blah.
Yeah. Jeff, I'll bring your order out, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, that's it.
So the place I go to get sushi every once in a while out in Randolph, they have a really good system. You call, you order, you prepay, right? So and then when you get there, they've got the two doors. You enter and there's the little vestibule and then you enter another door. So they just put your order right out there when it's ready. It's one at a time in there. So you go in, you pop your head in, you look at the orders. Oh, mine order's number is 784. 784 is not there yet. Okay, I'll pop my head back out. 784 is there. Grab it and go.
So you're in there touching everybody's orders while you're looking for your... Oh,
no,
my God.
Oh, no.
Are you licking
no,
them?
No, you don't touch the orders.
Oh, okay. I'd be thumbing through them, lick my thumb every now and then, just get a good grip on that paper.
That's so rude.
Oops, sneeze all over
No,
them.
They have the numbers like put out right in front of it.
No,
so
I got
you're just
you.
Like,
that does sound like a good system.
It's a much better system.
It was way better than the Thai kitchen had.
Yes.
And their food was fantastic.
Food
I got it home,
so
and it was. But guys, get on your pickup system. Give me a page. I know pagers don't work because everyone's got to touch it then. But like, all you need is like a.
That's a good point.
Like a hey, this is the orders we have. And the worst part is when I went in to get my order, there's two like, I'm gonna like at least like a dining room table and then like a fucking four tops worth of food. Just orders.
Just sitting,
On a table. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
The system is fucking this up.
Yeah. And I thought about all the people who are about to show up because we ordered a little early to try and get in before the rush for that food and how pissed off they were going to be at this system of one person inside and he stands at the desk until his food is ready.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, that's really weird.
It's even dumb of that kid to be like, I'll wait outside. He would have been like, oh,
he's a kid.
It's going to be a few minutes. I'll be outside.
He doesn't know his asshole from his elbow, I'm
sure.
Right,
fair
enough. He's a 20-year-old dude. I'm sure he's going to college and that doesn't mean a damn thing.
Fair enough.
He was trying, I'm sure. But, yeah, so that was my adventure. That was my traumatic experience. So we're all suffering, okay?
Yeah, we're all suffering.
It really was your personal Auschwitz there, Dave.
It really, well, Auschwitz is a little, Dachau maybe.
Oh, God.
The less, not as bad as Auschwitz. let's not be hyperbolic, Jay. So anyway, how are you guys doing?
Doing all right, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, hanging in there.
You watching any good movies lately?
Yeah.
Do you guys think it's the end of the world?
What?
Well, yeah, that is.
I hope it isn't.
I don't think so.
And if it is, I hope that we're not taken over by damn dirty apes.
Well done.
Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't know my script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, I was going to say Planet of the Apes 2.
You got it.
But it is Beneath the Planet of the Apes and Escape from the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Episodes 2 and 3 in the original Planet of the Apes series.
This is kind of a bridge to the newer remakes. Because it lines up, yeah.
Absolutely wild to me that Beneath the Planet of the Apes is just like a chocolate center. And I didn't expect that
creamy nougat.
Turns out it's hollow and flat at the same time. So who knew?
Very weird.
Charlton Heston, he's been so good to us. Well, what did you guys think? Because I've seen these movies. First of all, first time watching these for you guys?
For me.
I'd seen them a long, long time ago.
Okay.
So it's been a while, but I've seen them, yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah.
It feels, this is where you're like, oh yeah, I also have flashbacks of the TV show, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is where, this just feels like episodes of a TV show. Both of these movies, frankly.
They really did.
Yeah.
The second one, or Beneath, a little more so than the third one, but the third one had its own weirdness. But Beneath Planet of the Apes was just like, it was weird.
Yeah.
It had a weird pacing to it.
And it just ends. Like, it just starts and it just ends. And it's
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Well, the ending of it, I mean, we'll get to the ending of it, but it's... The way I always saw these movies is you got Planet of the Apes, which is a classic.
Yeah.
And then you got Beneath the Planet of the Apes. And Beneath the Planet of the Apes, first of all, is A, not very good.
No.
But B, it's tonally and thematically consistent with the original. I feel
to
like
a point,
kind of the vision was the same. We're doing that same like Twilight Zone-y like feel where there's going to be, they had a twist. It wasn't as dramatic as it's been Earth all along. But when they take off their masks.
And they're all fucking they're mutants. Deformed.
Yeah.
They're
like, Christine was surprised. It got her. Did you see that coming? Or
I kind of figured something like that was coming. Okay. But like... Yeah, I was a little surprised. It was like they're the, what's it called from Fallout?
They're like ghouls.
Ghouls.
Yeah, they pretty much are.
So it's like, I always thought it was funny because the original one is ruined for everybody. Everybody sees that coming.
Yes, yeah.
But the remake, it's like, it's still a surprise for people like Jay, but it's so unimpressive.
It's compared to the first one, it's like, oh. It's so like, oh, that's it? All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's explain it because I don't know if everybody here has ever seen it.
Brandon, well, what happens in Beneath the Planet of the Apes?
I actually forgot the main character's name already.
Okay, so it's
Taylor and
Swift.
Brent. It's Brent.
Brent.
Yeah, so Brent crash lands on the same planet, which is Earth in
which
the future.
Which might be Earth. We don't know.
It's Earth in the future.
He doesn't know, of course.
Yeah.
He finds out pretty quickly.
Crash lands pretty quick. Like, the whole, like, him just being there quick... I can't really remember what happens much beyond... He gets captured within the first, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, so in all of 5 minutes, we find out that Taylor went to march across the Forbidden Zone with Nova, and that something happened, and then we go to Brent.
He fell into, a holographic...
Right, which we find out later. He falls into a holographic mountain.
Yeah.
And Brent crash lands. We basically have a repeat of the exact same situation from the beginning, from the original, but abridged. They're like, hey, you guys get it. He crashed. He's here.
Yeah.
He's immediately captured, goes through an accelerated version of what Taylor goes through, where he's captured and Zira finds him, and then they try to get him out, and then he gets recaptured, and they finally get him to escape, and then they all like cram that in like 5 minutes, because they're like...
It's really quick,
And then he goes, and as they're escaping, they go underground, him and Nova. He finds Nova. Nova finds him, right. Yeah. And hence Beneath the Planet of the Apes. And you find out that all of this is basically occurring atop the ruins of New York City and like the other five boroughs.
Yeah.
You get you already knew because of the Statue of Liberty that this was kind of the New York area, but now it's confirmed. You see the underground is the library,
the Stock Exchange, too.
Radio City Music Hall, also.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A bunch of landmarks. They basically show you like underground, crumbled, ruined. And that's how Brent discovers that he is in the Planet of the Apes. He's on Earth.
He's on Earth.
Yes.
He takes it rather well.
He's pretty quick.
Yeah, he takes it all in stride.
Yeah, they do give him a little bit of time where he's like, "Oh my god, I can't believe it."
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden he's like, "Okay." He doesn't have like a breakdown moment like Taylor, where he's like, "You maniacs!"
Yeah, he's just like, oh, "All right, let's keep going."
I think Nova was asleep at the time. He didn't want to wake her.
Yeah, it was just this one scene where they're just hanging out, and he's just like, "Well, this is it. Okay."
And then they go on a search for water because everything, they're dehydrated and they can't find clean water anywhere, and they end up in kind of a sewer system, and then they end up at a cathedral, which I guess was maybe supposed to be a cathedral we would have recognized.
Maybe. I didn't realize.
One of New York's many wonderful cathedrals.
Yes.
Sure.
Or churches. Whatever the fuck it was. I'm not a religio. I don't know these things.
I'm not a religio.
I don't know. And he goes there, and he finds this, what I would call a cult?
Yes.
Of human survivors who can talk, which we didn't know existed. And
well, they barely talk. They mainly use their telepathy.
So they've evolved to the next stage, which is telepathy and mind control.
But only kind of mind control?
It's not great.
Like, they can't read your mind because they have to keep questioning everybody.
Yeah.
They're like, how many apes are coming? And it's like, well, I thought you had mind powers.
Yeah.
They can only make you do stuff and also, like, make high-pitched noises and make you hallucinate and shit. They have what amount to very limited mind powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good enough.
Mind powers enough, yeah.
And I guess they don't entirely work on the apes because...
I was wondering that, too. It's like, well, if they have mind powers, shouldn't they just mind power the apes and...
They can make the apes hallucinate.
Yeah. Yeah, but they can't like make them fight each other when you have that giant army.
Like they do with the humans.
With the humans.
Right. So I always just kind of assumed that was because the apes' brains were slightly different.
Sure.
Then they say, like, our weapons are weapons of peace. We can't, you know, do
a bunch of big old hypocrites.
They're totally are.
Like, we're not violent. We can only rather make people violent with each other.
We don't kill our enemies.
Yeah.
We make our enemies kill themselves.
Like, that's
kill each other. Yeah. Which I was like, oh, that's a nice little sidestep.
One half are the same. That's the same thing.
Yeah.
Which they do to Taylor and Brent.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the gorillas are like, there's a whole thing when you first go back to the ape settlement, the beginning of the movie, where you see this gorilla military guy who seems just like a gorilla John Wayne. Like, I think that's what they were going for. It wasn't John Wayne, but and he's like, we're going into the Forbidden Zone. There's humans there or whatever. I don't know. He's basically like, it's ours. We need to take
it. He is the most warmongery warmonger.
For like no reason.
He's like the Thade of this movie.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
No redeeming qualities. He even said, I think he ends that speech by going, invade! Invade!
Yes, he does.
Invade!
Yeah. And all, then all the chewy bad guy.
Super comic. Yeah, it was bad.
So awful. So yeah, he's your bad guy, and
they're chasing them essentially. Not really chasing, but
they're investigating what is in the Forbidden Zone.
Yeah.
They have a feeling that something's living out there.
And they start getting like hallucinations, and they're like, "Oh, we definitely got to find out what's going on here."
Right, right. So they're mounting a guerrilla offensive against the remaining humans who are really ghouly, melty faced, freak showy looking people who wear. Perfect rubber masks.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect human
over
masks.
There. Like Mission Impossible, perfect
like
rubber
the face
mask.
Maker, yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's kind of the big reveal is that they're mutated.
Yeah.
They take off their masks and they say, you know, I reveal my true self to my God. And they say they only speak when they're praying to their God.
Which is
a nuclear missile.
Yes. Very important.
Right, right.
They worship a nuclear missile. Which has been parodied, I think, many
It's another Fallout.
That is a Fallout.
It is a Fallout, you're right. Well, true.
Children of the Atom.
Children of the Atom. But then, I was thinking of cartoons.
Which is funny, because, I mean, they took it from this, if anything.
Fallout borrows from everything.
I don't
Oh, yeah, Fallout.
Fallout borrows from so much, yeah.
This, I wonder if this was taken from, or if this was
I think it was definitely inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I'm sorry, you were saying?
I wasn't. But, I mean, like, I just think it was a weak twist, the whole, like.
It's absolutely a weak twist.
Yeah.
But. Let's not forget about the nuclear missile with the very, very subtle Alpha and Omega.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Printed on the fin of the missile.
Mm-hmm.
And like they talk about it like it's this special missile. It's not just a nuke, it's like a world ender.
Yeah, it's like special coded inside. It's like encased in something special.
Yeah. Cobalt, I think.
Said something very innocuous that was supposed to sound terrible.
Yeah.
Like it's like they finally came up with a cobalt casing. And you're supposed to go,
that means it will blow up the entire world.
Right? As if they were like, they finally covered it in tin foil. Like, oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Aluminum foil. That's crazy. Tin foil. Jesus.
That'll multiply the explosion.
Yeah. It was supposed to sound very scientific.
Dumb, yeah.
It was very silly.
And the control panel also very dumb.
It was made of crystals.
It was Kal-El. It was fucking
it was,
Fortress of Solitude. It was so stupid.
Which begs the question.
How did they wire that?
Well, I always wondered, was that the U.S. government standard issue control panel for that missile?
It's like the 5 3/4 floppy disks of the time.
Or did they find a missile and they're like, we need to build a control panel for this.
We need to make it look glamorous.
Is that a crystal?
Let's do crystals.
We need to build the most useless control panel ever.
Yeah.
It was so dumb.
It was terrible.
The climax of the movie is just so weak, too. Like,
oh, it really is.
It's just a scuffle in this church, and then they knock the missile down, and then it blows up. Everybody dies.
And in case you were not sure, then a narrator comes on at the end and is like, this is how the Earth ends.
Yes, that's really
And it I'm getting if anybody played the latest Batman flashback, where they're like, this is how the Batman died, is literally how that game opens and closes.
Oh,
yeah.
And I got that flashback. It's like same voice, same like dramatic voice. And I'm like, well, this is the dumbest way you can.
It is really stupid.
Yeah. It was, if you have to end your movie with a voiceover, it's probably.
You got problems.
Yeah.
You already got problems.
But I always liked how they. And again, thematically similar to one, they're trying to like make a dramatic statement. They're trying to make like an impact with these final events and make you go, oh shit, at the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so the action of not only killing Brent, who's effectively the main character of the movie,
yeah,
but also then right after killing Taylor, who's the guy from the previous
fucking
movie,
Charlton Heston, yeah,
and then blowing up the world,
everybody,
that was their attempt at making you go like, oh shit,
oh, nukes are bad.
Yeah, it just doesn't land.
No, it doesn't.
No, I commend them for being like, let's just kill off everybody, let's kill off all the main characters.
Yeah,
commendable. I think that's a bold choice.
It's a very bold,
but you're right, it does not. It has no impact. You're just like, oh, cool. I barely knew this guy anyway. Fuck that guy.
And then the voiceover, if I remember correctly, says something like, there was a small green planet orbiting an insignificant sun.
It's
that
like
planet.
It's like a fucking Twilight Zone voiceover.
Is now dead.
It's not, yeah.
And they say the planet is dead. That planet is now dead.
Did you check its pulse?
It's like, oh, okay. And then it's just black and credits.
Yeah.
And you're just, oh.
Both of these movies are just like, you're in it and you're out of it.
It is.
And then the second one and the next one, it's you're in it and then you're out of it. As soon as it ends, it's over. Like, you don't have a lot of time to reflect.
And they both have that, like, epilogue scene. Yeah. Like a two-second thing at the end, right? It's just like the third one is...
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
They're at the circus.
Well, do you guys want to talk about the third one?
Sure. Yeah.
So, the third one...
What happens in the third one? Third one is...
I enjoyed it more than the second.
Yeah, I liked it better than
but
two.
But
Christine explained it as she was interested the whole time.
Yes.
Well, yeah. It was really... It was like an episode of TNG. It was like a holodeck episode of TNG.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah.
Is really what it struck me as, where it was like, we open up with these the monkeys, and they crash land.
Jay, they're apes.
Apes.
Thank you. Now you see why I've been saying it this whole time? Because it's an integral part of the third movie.
You're right. Yeah, they're like, we are apes. And
that's what causes him to kill that orderly later. He loses his temper.
Accidentally.
Well, I didn't say murder. I said kill.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
To manslaughter that orderly later.
Okay, you're right. Okay. So...
just offended by just being called a monkey over and over again.
So for those who haven't seen this, so it opens up with, it opens up literally just...
It's like right after...
It just opens up with, well, they skip over the whole, anyway.
You get a panning shot of the ocean where you go, oh, is this the Planet of the Apes? And then a helicopter goes by.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I guess we're not on the Planet of the Apes. And then what happens,
Brad? And then a helicopter spots the exact same spaceship. So they, anyways, we'll theorize about that later. You see the exact same spaceship that the humans landed on Planet of the Apes with, but it's Earth, and it's a regular time. So they pull this ashore.
Regular time being the 70s.
Sorry, 1973. 73, I think,
not regular at all.
Yeah, right now, you're right. It was a really different time. And then they open the capsule. There's three people in spacesuits, and then when they take their masks off, shock, amazement, it's three apes from the Planet of the Apes.
Didn't see that coming.
And
twist at the beginning.
For a while, they don't talk. They get like shuffled around, and for some reason, they don't talk, which I feel like a lot of confusion could have been solved in a lot of these movies if you just talked. A lot of it would have moved a lot faster if you just spoke up first.
Well, you see what happens to Taylor.
Yeah, true.
And what ultimately happens to them.
Hey, good point. No, that's the point. I know.
So that... Yeah. I'm sorry. I go on, but I just the characterization of Zero is so perfect.
No, they're the best part. They are good characters, and they are it's by the way, it's Cornelius Zero and this doctor you never met before, who's only in it for a few minutes.
Yeah, Dr.
Milo.
Milo, thank you, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Wow, good memory.
Oh, I just watched it
before coming here. No, I gotcha.
So they get taken to a zoo, and before they even start talking, right? The doctor die, or does the doctor die after? I forget.
The doctor dies after. Yeah, so they get taken to a zoo, and the doctors at the zoo start putting them through all these tests, which they ace, of course.
Yeah.
And then Zira...
Oh, yeah, the banana.
...is done with the bullshit, and she's like, I've loathed bananas.
And they're like,
and
then everyone, they talk.
Mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Milo dies shortly after that, while they're discussing how much to let them know.
A gorilla just fucking... wrecks him.
Ganks him. Just, murks that
from
bastard.
Another cage.
Grabs him from another cage and just breaks
chokes
his neck.
Him out. Straight up.
Yeah. Which, kind of graphic, but not for a movie series where we're gelding humans.
Yes.
Fair.
But what I like about this movie, and what you already kind of get a feeling for at this point in the film, is we've got returning characters that we like.
Yes.
Which you don't have so much of
in the second one.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Because
Taylor shows up for
5 minutes
at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then at the end. And Zira and Cornelius are in it for 5 minutes in the middle.
Yes.
And then you're trying to follow this Brent character and Nova, who's fine but doesn't talk, so it's hard to, you know, whatever. But they made the key decision of being like, we need characters people like. let's do Cornelius and Zira. And Zira is perfect because Zira has always been the loudmouth. I won't shut up. I'll stand up for my principles type of person. And she comes out and she's the first to talk to humans. Yeah.
So they start talking, but let's go back to the how the hell did they get to Earth. That is just that is just speckled right over. In between.
What do you mean?
In between these two movies, you're supposed to assume that these three apes, including Dr. Milo, who just happens to be good with space and time.
Very smart.
Happens to be way advanced, ahead of his time from what
he was a genius. Cornelius says so.
I know. So what didn't get shown in the films at all, and in between these two movies, they dredged up one of the spaceships and fixed it and fueled it, got it, and then were able to go into space, follow the course back to where Brent or Taylor had come
understood
from.
How to fly the spaceship.
Oh, that too. That
which
too.
You're
Sorry.
Definitely glossing over.
Yeah, apes. We have apes fly spaceships all the time, guys. I don't see why this is a problem for you. I
mean, did you not see Planet of the Apes by Tim Burton?
Right? Unfortunately, the 2001 version?
Unfortunately, I did.
But yeah, so that and that's just pretty much breezed over, and it always kind of bothered me. But
Brandon, there's a lot of things that are breezed.
At this point, we are just in like almost we're in total fantasy. Like,
these movies are entirely ridiculous.
Yes,
the first movie takes a premise that's kind of like, okay, that's a maybe possible, and we won't talk about it much.
Yeah,
and then we're on with the Planet of the Apes. And the second movie doesn't really address the science of it at all. It's just like you have to assume this guy did the same thing as Taylor, and here he is, and we're gonna take it from there. And then the third movie, they reinvent physics.
Yes.
Yeah, and they make these whole, like, I guess while the guerrilla war was going on, like, they already had the spaceship.
I don't know, because basically they said, as we were leaving, we saw out of the ship window that the Earth, like, cracked and exploded or whatever.
But you got to figure Dr. Milo didn't figure all that out in a day.
It seemed
so
like
they
he
already
did.
Had the spaceship when Brent was there asking
Maybe.
Them for help. And they failed to mention, hey, we've got a spaceship that you might be able to get back home with.
Well, then that's shitty, too.
Right?
It's definitely shitty screenwriting.
It's just poor bad thinking. Writing. Yeah. It's just bad writing. And they didn't have the budget for any sort of effects like to do that.
No. So the whole movie is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's very bad writing. But it's what it does is it keeps you engaged by giving you an interesting story to follow with characters that you like.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is what they didn't do in the second movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had no attachment to the characters of the second one.
Right. Could have cared less. No. Christine got bored. She was like, I forgot we were watching a movie.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
Second one is almost skippable.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, it's kind of entirely skippable.
Because really the only thing that bears in even into the plot of the third one is that the Earth was destroyed.
Yeah, that's the only... And gave them a reason to get off, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But that...
Also, why would they leave? Like, they don't even see like the type who would leave.
Well, what choice did they have?
They didn't like the war.
War was inevitable.
Yeah.
I guess. They didn't know the world was going to explode.
Chimpanzees are pacifists.
That's true.
They're scientists. They weren't happy with the society they lived in, and they were going to... they're launching a massive war. So if you're going to jump in a spaceship at any time...
I guess so. Yeah, fair enough.
That's the part you had trouble with? Why would they leave?
No, there's a lot of stretches that I...
How about... This is my favorite. Later on, Cornelius is explaining how apes came to rule over humans.
Yes. That's
which is something he's learned recently.
Yeah.
Because in the first movie...
He had no idea.
He had no fucking idea humans even had a civilization.
Yes.
He did a lot of archaeology in the past month or whatever.
Dude can science.
He did.
Dude can science.
He like found a book afterwards that was like, this says everything.
Exactly what had happened.
It's a genealogy. He found like Ape Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And he's on Ape Wikipedia and he found out that like... humans or dogs and cats got this deadly virus.
That's
and
the impetus is all dogs and cats died. So as new pets, we took apes.
Yeah.
And they were more handy, of course.
They have thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so they went from being pets to being servants to being slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At which point they revolted, which actually makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do that transition,
Make that in your second movie somewhere though.
Right.
Maybe.
Like maybe have a scene
like where they uncover a tablet and they're like, wow, look at this ancient tablet that tells us exactly what the fuck happened.
It's okay because there's the first movie and then no one cares about the second movie. And then the third movie's fun. And then after that, it's just don't worry about all that first movie stuff.
Literally.
We're doing a new thing.
Yeah.
And that's why where the Andy Serkis ones kind of pick up.
Yes, but also. I thought, I don't know because I haven't seen it forever, but I've not seen the whole
thing. The fourth one ties into the third one.
That's right, isn't it? It's supposed to be the baby, right? Anyways, baby, speaking of.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. So yeah, they become public darlings because they go in front of a commission and they talk and explain their story a little bit. They do lie about Taylor, which is the one thing they get him on later. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah. It was almost like they committed perjury on the stand.
if only people actually.
The bad guy, the evil McSooty guy was just such a bad villain.
Oh, the foreigner?
Yeah.
The only foreigner in the movie?
British guy working for the U.S. government.
He was not British. He was like some sort of German.
Oh, really?
Well, I could be absolutely wrong, but his accent was very, I could tell there was, like English was not his first language. He spoke it well, but he definitely had an accent where I could tell a hint of something else. And I was wondering if they did that to be like, because.
Cold War times.
Spoiler alert. it goes from this media darling circus to things start getting a little dark. They start injecting the apes with truth serums and interrogating them, and they want to sterilize them later on. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out to be like we're monsters too,
which I think is a theme in all three of the
course.
Movies. I
Absolutely.
Think that's one theme that definitely carries throughout.
Yeah. Oh, they stuck with it, but because of this, the government starts doing some dark shit, and I think maybe someone was like, hey, can we get a foreigner to do the really bad government
shit? I didn't
even
notice, so I don't know.
That's interesting, and you're probably right.
I think it was done so subtly that you weren't meant to really notice. Hmm. But like this guy has just did you pick up on it, Jay?
I didn't pick up on it, but now that you bring it up, I'm taking your I'll take your word for
Christine, she goes, this guy talks weird. I was like, he's got an accent. He's from somewhere. But I think maybe somebody was like, hey, listen, we don't want to make the U.S. government look too bad. There's a war on.
We'll wait a few decades for that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just make this guy, he works for the president, but he's got an accent. Maybe he's, oh, I don't know, German or Eastern European.
Probably like Russian a little bit.
Maybe he's like Slovenian. You know, not Russian. I don't want to say Russian. This movie isn't about the Russians.
German, called it.
German. See, there you go.
Eric Bryden.
Bryden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He could. He was very. There was definitely a bit of something there.
I didn't notice, but yeah.
Yeah, he was the only one who was not an American. I just thought that was ironic because he was the bad.
He was the
bad, bad guy.
He was really bad.
But so yeah, so they're media darlings, and then what happens, Brandon? What turns the tables on him?
What is it? He just gets a bug in his. Like, he just gets like a bee in his bonnet about like, well. They said that apes are going to rise up, and I think that's going to happen, so let's control it. Let's make sure she doesn't have her baby. She's pregnant, by the way.
But that was the thing.
BT dubs. Let's make sure she doesn't have the baby, and then let's kill the two of them.
Because they talk about her being pregnant
They kind of do, yeah. They mention it.
They mention it. Mm-hmm. And then they do carry that over to this, where she is pregnant. She gives birth to a baby, and then, Jay, what do they do with the baby?
Throw it over the... side of a ship?
Well, the really. Other baby, Jay. The other baby.
That's the twist.
Yeah, put it in a circus.
You're right.
So put it in Khan's circus.
Yeah.
Yes. You didn't realize that you were getting some Ricardo Montalban.
Of course.
When you started this.
But beautiful, as always. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he's, Jay, you'll be pleased to know, he has a role in the next movie as well.
Yes. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right. Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that one in ages. Maybe, I don't know. I've only seen... bits and pieces of the next two movies. So
I actually think it's better than this one, but I don't think you could have had this one. You don't think you could have had that without this one?
Well, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, because you needed like the Zira and Cornelius tie-in for them to be like, for you to give a shit about an ape uprising, or else why the fuck would you care?
Exactly.
But it's the next movie I think is good. I think the next movie is, I mean, good is a strong word for these movies, but it's enjoyable. And then the fifth movie is just
dog shit.
Dog shit is wrong. They completely like they went a whole different direction with it. It's more like a bad action movie.
Yeah,
it's like a Mad Max.
Okay,
almost, but it's like post apocalyptic. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Just finish
when we
the
get there.
Story because they become media darlings. Sorry. They learn what alcohol is. They they go to a museum. Grape juice plus. Which BTW, I love how they're like, oh, you're pregnant? Here, take a load off.
It's
have
a great,
some wine. It's great for people who are pregnant. Do you mind if I have a cigarette?
Yeah. Oh, no, he says, do you mind if I have a cigarette? I know. Forgive me. I shouldn't in your condition.
And then he activates the recording.
And it wasn't, it was champagne.
Oh, you're right, it was.
So a little less alcohol-y than wine, but still, I don't think then doctor recommended.
No. But, they, I guess, then what happens? Then they... breathe in for more questioning. Put him right. Put zero on the truth serum.
That's when stuff starts getting weird. They put him in a facility. They were staying in a hotel.
Yeah, they were staying in a nice hotel.
Relocated to
a
government facility.
Yeah.
They inject Zero with truth serum and they get everything out of her.
And really, it's not terrible, but this guy's just like, kill him.
He loses his shit.
But it's like she explained that she did work with humans, mm-hmm. and even the nice doctor, the good guy doctor, was like, we do the same to them.
The president even says what am I going to do? This is stuff we do to animals.
Yeah.
So everyone understood except for that one doctor guy, the German doctor.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
Because he was German and evil. Mm-hmm. Not American. Americans are
understanding. Well, the Americans all understood. Yeah. They were like, hey, listen, we don't want to hurt these poor apes.
Americans just so good with people who are different than them. But
this German guy.
He's a bad apple.
He had it in for him.
He really did.
And turns out, though.
Kind of stretches it to me, but.
Turns out he was right the whole time, though.
Well. What?
That is what happens. Turns out there is an ape uprising.
That's exactly what happens.
And like it's
a causality loop, and it fucks me up anyway.
I think it is a causality loop.
It is a causality loop.
Even if it weren't a causality loop, the doctor is right. You don't want these apes running around creating more speaking. Even if you have no idea how this happens, apes went from not speaking to speaking, and all of a sudden you have speaking apes running around. I'd be concerned as well.
Fair enough.
Euthanizing people.
Even the president was like, I don't even know if we're going to be around in 39, 75 or whatever fuck.
He says, I don't think we'll be in office then.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is the best political answer ever. Yeah. We'll just kick that can right down the road. Yep.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like it's a bit of a stretch, but you make a good point. But his motivations are a little bit of a stretch. Like, they really didn't do anything.
Oh, they are completely innocent.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like a Hitler baby thing. Like, do you kill Hitler?
Fair
do you go back and kill Hitler in the womb?
I
think it's a hard argument to make, but I understand like what you're saying. So he definitely had like a point,
but then he got maniacal about it, and mm-hmm. just like then he, you know, well, they go on the run. So the manslaughter. So
right. Well, the thing is, they were going to abort the baby
and sterilize
both of Cornelius and Zero, so mm-hmm. they could not reproduce again. And that's when shit gets kind of funky. The orderly goes in.
The orderly comes in and he's like, he's just being a bit of a dick. And he calls them monkeys.
Mm-hmm.
And Cornelius loses shit and like pushes them away. Pushes the food away. And they're like,
with a tray basically full of food.
And I think he falls back and hits something. Like you see the blood on the back of his head.
Christine was like, wait, did he fall back into a gunshot back of the head?
Totally,
what is that?
Why are there spikes on the wall there? That was stupid. But that's what happens. He dies. It's clearly an accident. But everybody's like, well, now load up your guns. It's manhunt time.
Now that is American.
Not so.
You're right.
The president still says, we're in a pickle, but I want them taken alive. You get the implication is that then they'll be put to death.
Yeah.
But the president wants them taken alive. It's only German McGerman face.
Who's like, kill them all.
He goes and gets his gun immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're looking for him, and long story short, they find him.
They meet up with the good scientists, and
who helps
the good
them.
Scientists help them deliver the baby at a circus, because the good doctor vet guy has it in with Ricardo Montalban, because he runs an animal circus type thing, and they're buddies,
mm-hmm.
and he lets them use their place to hide them for a moment while they have their baby. And then you don't see the switch until the end.
That's the reveal at the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see this other chimp with a baby, and it's a pen, and there's like a moment, and I already knew what happened, but I was like, oh, okay. There's a little bit of foreshadowing, but it's not, you don't see the switch.
They get in the cage together?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, and they just kind of look at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you get the feeling Zero's thinking something, but.
Yep, and then it cuts to them leaving, like on the run again, and they get a gun, which they don't use, but.
Yeah, the doctor gives them a gun, which is the craziest thing, because like this doctor, he's a vet at a zoo.
And he has a gun, like laying around.
In California.
Yeah.
What?
He's a vet, and he has a gun. That's a lot of what vets do.
I don't know if they shot animals.
I think they inject them, yeah.
But regardless...
He's not like a farm vet. Like, he's not like... Yeah.
He brings it with him, and he gives it to Cornelius, and he was like...
I had this lying around.
I thought you'd ask.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I thought you might want to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's what Cornelius wants it for.
Yes.
He wants it to off himself.
Give us a chance to do it ourselves. Yeah.
And they told him to... get across the country somehow and get to the Everglades. That was their plan.
Well, they were going to winter in the Everglades, so they were going to they were going to hide out at like that harbor, that old harbor, mm-hmm. until the heat died down and they checked all the circuses. And then they were going to take them back to the circus. And,
oh,
and they
okay,
were all
okay.
going to go
that.
Together
yeah.
to the Everglades.
I missed that.
And which is a bad place to release apes because, as we discovered already, they cannot swim.
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So Everglades for apes?
Not a good idea.
Yeah. And have you seen like Anaconda and shit? Like yeah, those right. snakes live out there. Like it's
and gators.
It's a crazy place. But I guess if you don't have another choice. Okay. But what happens when they're hiding in the harbor, guys?
They're hiding in the harbor on this boat, and how does he know first? I forget.
He basically
he's just out there looking, right?
They find the carpet bag that they left behind.
That's what gives it away. Yeah.
So they know the general area that it's in, and then he just takes binoculars and goes up to a high point and just looks around.
See, like yeah. yeah, like
yeah, and he just
Elder
happens
Scrolls or
to,
whatever.
Yeah.
like, gets map vision, mm-hmm. and the objective marker pops up.
Cornelius was highlighted in yes. yellow in the distance, yeah. in the horizon. He was, like, objective located.
So instead of calling, you know, the cops who he's supposed to be working with,
because he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
He wants them dead, not alive.
Exactly. So he goes on his own and hunts them down, and there's a very anticlimactic fight on a old boat.
Yeah.
And
then they both get shot.
Everybody gets shot.
Yeah. Shoots Zira in the back.
Totally shoots Zira in the back. And then blows away the baby.
Yeah. Well, first he goes, Zira, I want that baby.
Oh, yes, he does.
then he kills it.
then she turns to run, and he shoots her in the back. And then he shoots, yeah, like four or five rounds.
He plugs that fucking baby.
He peppers
terrible.
The baby.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It was really, Christine, like, was visibly like, huh.
Yeah, it was messed up.
You know.
Because he's German.
Right, he's Germans do that.
Yeah.
Have you not heard of World War II?
Yes.
Atrocities, anyway. This is not done like visually, like horrifyingly.
No,
the baby is
yeah.
a pile of rags on the ground.
Right. Yeah.
It's implied that that's always
clearly what happens. Yeah.
Then Cornelius shoots the doctor, and the doctor,
yes,
and the police
he does shoot,
shoot Cornelius.
Yes.
Right. But then Zira dumps the baby corpse.
Yeah.
In the bay
for reasons,
just because
to probably hide it that it was the wrong ape,
right? Because a chimpanzee body should sink, but that's not a chimpanzee body; it's a Muppet. So it just awkwardly floats on the surface.
Yes,
and Christine also visibly like ah,
yeah,
ah.
It's a pretty fucked up ending.
It was. It's a very. But it's very gratuitous. I mean, not in like a visual sense, but it's like
just like the implications.
You just killed a baby and threw it in a bay, and mm-hmm. it all happens on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah, so Brandon, I saw you give me a look. The reason chimpanzees can't swim is they don't have enough body fat.
I didn't know
they
that.
Don't float. Yeah, they
I
sink
did not.
To the bottom.
Is that why they're afraid of swimming?
Huh. Yes, yes,
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. So then yes, we find out in the end. Jay, did you see it coming? The switch.
No, I didn't really. I didn't see that coming.
And had I not seen this before, I wouldn't have either.
I mean, it was it's an interesting idea for it. But then you end, and they reveal the switch at the circus, and it's just like mama. The
they
little
do that horrible, horrible, just reversing three fucking frames.
They could only make
they
the
could
ape.
Only make yeah. it make a, like a mama
oh my
face
God,
for like
yep.
1 second.
yeah,
they just like loop and reverse loop.
There's
and reverse.
The footage.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah. It was really
creepy.
It was creepy.
It was very creepy.
It took a lot of the humanity out of that mama that you were supposed to feel. Yeah. This
started to sound like a creepy doll.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Christine commented on that too.
Yeah.
I think that got everybody. It was very uncomfortable.
Well.
But
I mean, it leads up to the next one.
Yeah. Ricardo Montalban takes the ape in. They switch the apes. So Zira just, you know, got this poor innocent baby ape murdered. But at least it wasn't her kid.
Yeah.
So she empathizes with that mother ape too. She's like, oh, it's just teaching
that,
you how
that
to be
horrible
a mother.
Monkey costume. Like
oh,
of
yeah.
all of them, everybody looks great. The Planet of the Apes people look great, but there's this chimp that looks like it's like a 30-year-old chimp outfit.
It's like
that's been falling apart, and it looks like if you've ever seen Godzilla versus King Kong, it looks like the King Kong in that movie.
It's like a $20 Party
ratty,
City,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Monkey costume.
It's really bad. It was like, oh, I guess ran out of budget there.
It was really bad, right? They spent all their money on Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, right.
Worthwhile investment.
Of course.
It was.
Always a worthwhile investment.
I'm glad to know he's coming back.
He slathers that scene with gravitas.
Oh,
he's in it for two scenes.
Super Ricardo Montalban in it.
Yeah.
He's absolutely.
Because I love animals.
I love animals.
That's right. No. The first ape to be born in a circus. Do you know what that is? It's like being the first fish to be born on dry land. It's like being the first baby to be born on the moon. It's like being...
They're like, all right.
We get it, Ricardo.
Yeah, whatever, Ricardo.
We'll stop searching.
Yeah, it's just so hysterically overdone.
Yes.
And it's the same in the next movie, so you guys are going to be thrilled. Yeah, so...
Overall, yeah, they were both kind of average, though. I mean, the second one is just forgettable. It really is.
Very forgettable.
Yeah, it tries to make a statement about nukes, I guess, the message. And also that, like...
It's definitely in there somewhere.
Don't be a telepath.
People are shit.
Don't be a telepath.
I don't know.
And then the third one is like...
They'd be nicer, and they're not.
Tries to also say people are shit.
Well, I think just Germans.
Well, I think all the movies are saying people are shit. I think all the movies are saying everybody's shit.
Essentially, yeah, humanity. Yeah.
Humanity.
Like, humanity is bad.
Including apes when they become
that's
more
what
human.
I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Effectively,
it's,
like.
It's like a vicious cycle, and that's what we're getting to see throughout five fucking movies and two remakes. Right. Three remakes.
Do you get it?
I got it.
Do you get it?
I got it. I can take the test on this. I'll be okay.
Jay hasn't gotten it yet.
Well,
we're going to have to watch another movie.
We have to watch like six more movies. No, four more at least. Maybe
I think
five?
There's nine total. I was looking. In terms of like remakes, and there's three.
There's five originals. And there then, is the 2001 remake.
And then there's three.
And there's three new
is,
ones.
Is there is a trilogy? Okay. Yeah. Of the, yeah. the Andy Serkis ones.
Yeah. Unless I was reading it wrong, but it looked like there were three. 2014,
I didn't know if that third
16,
one
and 18,
out,
I think it is.
So how do we want to do that?
I say we just watch, you know, side by side like we normally do. And then we just watch the fifth one or the last one by itself.
The last trilogy one by. Okay. That makes sense. So next week we will do.
Four and what I think it's 2014.
Rise and Rise, I think.
Yes, I think Rise of the Planet of the Apes and Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I'll look it up.
I'm pretty sure that's accurate.
If you were not tired of hearing us talk about monkeys,
yeah, they're both Rise.
We will be talking about more monkeys next week and the week after and the week after.
That's right. Well, now we know the history because Cornelius told us.
Monkey May. Okay, so it's Mapcast.
Monkey May. Oh, I like it. That's racist, though. They're apes.
It's Rise. Rise, Dawn, and War for the Planet of the Apes are the new ones.
Those are the remakes.
Yeah.
So I think the originals were Rise and Dawn.
Yeah.
Or maybe Fight For.
I thought for some reason that sounds
I think you're right, yeah.
A title.
I don't know, let me look.
It's one of those other titles is like the exact.
Yeah. But next week we'll be doing Rise and Rise because that's four and one of the new trilogy. So if you're playing along at home, you want to get ahead of the game. Watch more monkey movies.
Yeah, these will actually have remakes.
Jay,
apes, Jay,
apes.
Could you not?
They're
apes. It's very offensive to us. They even say it in the movie.
They're fictional characters.
What's the difference?
Jay, I'm... Oh, sorry, the Conquest. Conquest is the next one. In the old thing.
Oh, Conquest
so
of the Planet of the Apes?
So we will be watching Conquest of Planet of the Apes.
And Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, do they make it like the last one is... I don't know. Battle. So the last one will be Battle.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
So they ditched the whole naming scheme. That's obnoxious.
Yeah, they stuck with it for a little bit, but...
No, like, they don't match up. The titles don't. I thought it was Rise and Rise. It's not. It's Conquest.
Oh.
We're watching Conquest and Rise this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that will be Battle 4 and... Was it Dawn, did I say?
Guys, listen.
It's getting confusing, but this is what happens with fucking Planet of the Apes movies. It does.
Watch the fourth one in the original trilogy, or in the original
and the first Andy Serkis one.
The first Andy Serkis one.
Bingo.
That's it.
That's
done.
All you need to know.
Bingo, bango.
I'll put the titles in the show notes. You guys don't have to worry about it.
We do this for you.
Yeah, this is a service we provide.
Yeah,
free of charge. Anyway, was that it? Do you guys have anything else you wanted to say about the brilliant performances of the actors or the music?
Music was not as memorable.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's the thing. In the original one, you have like it's like a very jazzy, like almost like a riff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like kind of jungly noises. Yeah,
it's very all over the place.
A little bombastic.
The next one they do a very similar theme, but I think it's done
so
badly.
Much toned down. Yeah,
it's very toned down. It's very generic. Like.
Yeah.
If you think of a 70s chase scene,
that's
the music you're going to get. Think of a 70s action scene, and that's the music you're going to get. There's nothing original about it.
Not nearly as novel.
Yeah.
But what did you guys think about the music in the third movie? Because I thought it was like a hodgepodge of like modern-day music with that original, modern-day being the 70s, with that original like jazzy thing they were trying to do.
If that's what they were going for, that's cool. But I didn't notice. But I could just not have been.
I didn't
attention.
Like the music in the third one either.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Yeah.
But they, I could tell like they what they were trying for something. Like they put a bass line
yes.
under like the wacky, like jazz, like scary music. And I was like, oh, okay. It was parts of it. I felt like we were in Austin Powers.
Weird.
Yeah, that's a very good way to put it, actually.
Yeah. It was very, very, very 70s-esque music, especially the fucking shopping scenes where they're putting on the suits and everything.
Yes.
That's a good cute little montage, yeah.
Yeah, it's cute. It acquaints us with all our characters mm-hmm. and why we like them and everything.
I just think they got done dirty, man. Those evil suit guy.
Yeah, well, listen, you're going to... I mean, it all
like you said,
full circle.
He's right, but I feel like our two favorite characters, our two remaining favorite characters are off now, so...
Find out what happens next week when we do more Planet of the Apes movies. We're not going to call them monkeys. That would be inappropriate.
Yes.
We can't wait to see you. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.